making again of the garments for the priest, as we had the directions given to Moses when he was on the mountain. And here is the fulfillment of all of these things. They've made the furniture, they've made the tabernacle, they've made the garments for the priest, they made the all the stuff as far as the plates and the bowls and the chargers, the anointing oil, the incense, all of that stuff they've made, they've prepared, they've got it all ready for the work of the Lord. They've accomplished all of these things that God has given Moses direction to get together and bring to pass. And remember, he gave the directions to Moses. He put in Bezalel the wisdom to know how to build these things and make these things. He and Aholiab, I don't know why it's so hard to say, Aholiab and these two men particularly God picked out, put in them this knowledge, this wisdom to do these things, to be able to build these things. They taught others to do it, to help them get these things accomplished and built. And so now they've got all of this stuff built. The tabernacle, the court of the tabernacle, the priest's garments, all of the furniture, it's all made ready to go together. And it tells us here in this passage where we take up tonight in Exodus chapter 39, verse number 32, it says, thus was all the work of the tabernacle, of the tent of the congregation, finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And so they built it exactly. Again, that's that quality control we see there that's given to us over and over again in these last chapters, is that they built it exactly like God had commanded Moses for it to be built, to be made, to be sewed together, to be woven, all of the stuff, every detail they did exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses. And it says, verse 31, and or 33 rather, and they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, and his pillars and his sockets, and the coverings of ram's skin dyed red, and the coverings of badger's skin, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver, and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, his sockets, the hangings for the court gate, his cords, and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the clothes of service, to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. And so they get it all made, and they bring it to Moses, and they lay it all out there for him to see. And he's looking now upon all of these instruments, upon all of these things that were made, upon the priest's clothing, upon all the furniture there for the tabernacle, and he looks upon all of it there, and yep, that's what God said to build. And yep, that's what he said to build. That's what he showed me on the mountain right there. And that's what he showed me there on the mountain. And yes, right there. And yes, right there. That's exactly what he said. And yes, that's exactly what that looked like that he was showing me. And yes, that's what that's supposed to be. And yes, that's the colors it's supposed to be right there. And yes, that's made exactly like he said to make that there. And Moses gave his approval of all that was made. Yep, that's exactly what God said to do. And so he inspects it. He declares it's exactly what God had given for them to do. And so they had done it, it says, and Moses blessed them. He blessed them. Now, chapter number 40. The construction is done. All of the things are made, set in place. All that the Lord had commanded for His worship. This is all about the people of God worshiping God. And this is what God demanded that they do in order to worship Him. And this is all because this every element of this worship that God has prescribed for Israel, every element of it is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every part of it is pointing to Him. What He would do when He would come, what He would perform for us as our great high priest, as our sacrifice, as our Savior, all of that was being displayed, or was going to be displayed in this work that God had given for them to build. In the tabernacle itself, in all the furniture of the tabernacle, in the high priestly garments, in the veils themselves, in the work of the sacrifice, and how all of those were to be carried out, how it was to be done, every single detail of this is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all pointing to Him so that for the purpose of when at last He would come into the midst of His people, they would be able to recognize Him. Oh, that's the reason we did this. And that's the reason we did that. That's the reason we built this like this. And that's the reason this had these colors on it. It was all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they've got it all complete. They've got it all set up or set aside now, ready to be erected as the Lord would give command. And so in chapter 40, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. So He tells them, on the first day of Nisan, set up the tabernacle. Put everything where it's supposed to be. Thou shalt put therein, He says, the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. Thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. Thou shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. Thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hangings of the door to the tabernacle. Thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation. Thou shalt set the laver between the tent and the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. Thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hangings at the court gate. So he tells them, this is on the first day of the first month. Everything's to be set up. Everything's to be put in order. Everything's to be set where it's supposed to set. So the first day of the Jewish New Year, they were going to start this worship of the Lord. They were going to set all of it up as God had commanded. They were going to set all these things in order. And that beginning of the new year was going to be a beginning of new worship for the children of Israel. They had not, up to this point, they had not worshipped the Lord as the Lord had prescribed for them to. They had not to this point. They had followed Him across the desert there, out of Egypt. He had brought them to the mountains of Sinai. He had worked all of these miracles on their behalf. They had erected other gods and worshipped them and made a mess in that process and caused a great deal of harm to themselves because of what they had attempted to do in their worship there. They had not, to this point, worshipped God as God had prescribed for them to worship. Now they've got it all set in order. Now they've got everything made as God has prescribed for them to make. Now they've got everything set in place so that in their worship, as they go forth to do this work of worship, to bring these praises, to bring these sacrifices, to lift up the name of the Lord, in everything, in every element, in every detail that they are performing, they are lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are pointing to Him, you see, in everything that they are doing. And so God prescribed for them the first day of the first month, set all of this up. And He says, verse number 8, thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hangings at the court gate. Verse 9, and thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And so they're going to dedicate it to the Lord at this point. Once it's set up, they're to take the anointing oil that they make, and they're going to anoint the tabernacle. They're going to anoint these pieces of furniture. They're going to hallow it. They're going to separate it out to the Lord. It's going to be used for His worship. It's not somebody's end table. They're just grabbing, hey, wouldn't you use that in the tabernacle? No, these are specific items that God has given them direction to point to the Lord Jesus Christ that they are anointing to use in this worship of the Lord. He says there, thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle, all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. It shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. Thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. Thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Before they could do this work, they themselves had to be cleansed, and they had to be anointed. They had to be cleansed and they had to be anointed. Before God would receive their worship, they had to be cleansed, they had to be anointed. Before they could do any of this work here in the tabernacle, before they could perform these sacrifices before the Lord, they had to be cleansed, they had to be anointed. They had to have these two things. Before they could represent the people of Israel before the throne of God, they had to be cleansed and they had to be anointed. Pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and that which we have only in Him. We don't sprinkle oil upon us anymore. We don't use the water to cleanse us when we come in. Our Lord Jesus has cleansed us by His blood. He has anointed us with His Spirit. He has given us that place before Him, an open door that we can come in and worship Him and come into His presence before the throne of God. He has brought to pass all of these things that is pointed to here in these passages of Scripture. Our Lord has brought them to pass. He has accomplished them for us. And so it is in Him that we are cleansed. It is in Him that we are anointed. And we have ready access to worship Him now. We can come into His presence and worship freely before our Lord. We don't have to go through all of this. We don't have to set up this tabernacle. We don't have to set up these pieces of furniture. We don't have to go through the work of the sacrifice and bring in the blood and do all the washings that are necessary. We don't have to do all of these things because all of this is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought it all to pass. He brought it all to completion in Himself. And so now we have ready access to come in and worship Him without having to go through all of this. We don't have to go through an earthly priest. He is our great high priest. We come to Him. We don't have to go through the washing of the water. He is our washing of the water. He is our cleansing. We don't have to be anointed by the oil. He anoints us with His Spirit. His Spirit indwells us, you see. And so we have that ready access now to come into the presence of our Lord because of that which He has accomplished for us and the giving of Himself in our place, the sacrifice that was offered in Him, and it is only by that that we are given this place before the throne of God. And so He says there in verse number 14, "Thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister to me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month," that was the second year of their travels there, "on the first day of the month that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up his pillars, and he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the temple, or put the table rather, in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hangings at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and put water there to wash withal." So Moses did exactly as the Lord had commanded him on the first day of the week, the first day rather of the first month. And they set up this tabernacle and all of the furniture with it and got it all in place, did exactly as the Lord had commanded him. And it says there in verse number 31, "And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." Then it tells us, verse number 34, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now, I don't know what that looked like, but it was something different from what they had seen before. Now, as they were coming across the wilderness there and coming into Sinai, the Lord led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. We see the same thing here. We see the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. They're now over the top of the tabernacle. But there was something different about it now, because now they recognize the glory of the Lord filled the place. There was now a residing for the Lord in the presence of His people. And that was something that they, whether they didn't notice it before, or whether it was just simply something the Lord had not revealed to them at this point, Moses got to taste it there on the mountain. But this the people recognized. This is something that was different from what they had experienced before. As the Lord, as they saw the cloud cover the tent and the glory of the Lord filling that place. This was done also when the Lord built, or when Solomon rather built the temple, and they performed the sacrifice there to the Lord, and they begged the Lord to receive this offering and receive this gift that they had made. And likewise, as happened here, the glory of the Lord filled the temple as well. And God giving His approval that He would indeed operate out of that. We see it again also in Acts chapter 2 with the church at Jerusalem when the Lord empowers the church there at Jerusalem, when He comes in on them in that place. And their coming in on them shows His approval that this was now who He was going to be working with. It wasn't going to be through a tabernacle, it wasn't going to be through a temple, but now it was through this church at Jerusalem. And so we see that same presence being shown here in these other times in the Scripture. But here the people recognized it. Here the Lord took His abode with them as He would come in and fill this place with His glory. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the Lord abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The presence of the glory of the Lord was so strong, Moses was not able to enter. He was not able to. Now listen, that's remarkable. That's what I'm saying, that this was unique from what they'd seen before. Moses had been in the presence of the Lord for 80 days on the mountain of Sinai. And there, while he was there in the presence of the Lord, receiving this instruction, receiving all of the law there, receiving these things in regards to the worship, as he was there in the presence of the Lord, the mountain was on fire on the top of it, and it was filled with smoke. I mean, the presence of the Lord was obvious to those that were down on the bottom, at the base, the children of Israel looking up and seeing what was going on the mountain. Moses was there in the presence of it for 80 days. He desired to see more of what he was seeing when he asked there in chapter 33, "Show me thy glory." And the Lord tells him, "Nobody can look on me face to face, they'll die. But I'll let you see a little bit of it." As he passed by Moses in the cleft of the rock and passed by and covered him with his hand and removed his hand as he passed by. Moses saw the hem, just the back parts of him as he passed by. And in just that, Moses comes down off the mountain with his face shining, you see. Here, the presence of the Lord was so strong. The glory of the Lord. Now, Moses asked on the mountain, as he is there in the presence of the Lord, receiving this instruction, receiving these laws, Moses asked there on the mountain, "Show me thy glory." Moses knew there was much more than what was being revealed to him. Moses understood it was a lot greater, it was a lot more awesome than what he was giving permission, or what he had been given permission to see. And the reason why he asked the question, "Show me thy glory." Here the Lord's glory filled up this tent. A tent. His glory filled it up. And Moses was not able to enter in because of the presence of the glory of God. And so he tells us there that he was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the Lord abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onwards in all their journeys. So, like before, when the cloud went up, time to move. And so they would take down the temple, or take down the tabernacle. They'd take, put the staves in all of the furniture that they were to carry, and they were to roll up the coverings, and they were to put all the stuff in its place, and whatever would be packed and carried, and they would get it all together, and off they would go and follow where God would direct them and lead them as they went out across the wilderness toward the promised land. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. So when the Lord stopped, or where He told them to stop, they would stop and they would stay there as long as the cloud of His glory was present there at the tabernacle. That's where they would stay until He's ready to move again. And when He was ready to lead them further, they would pack everything up again and off they would go. Those possibly 2 to 3 million people following this cloud of the Lord as He'd move across toward the promised land. For the cloud of the Lord, verse 38, the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Throughout all their journeys. After they had sinned there at the foot of the mountain, and they had made them idol and was worshiping there at that idol and had their big party and all that wickedness that unfolded there. Remember, God told Moses, I'm not going to go with you. If I go with you, the next time these people mess up, I'll wipe them out. And so I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send my angel and he'll go with you. And Moses interceded on behalf of the people of Israel and begged God, please, Lord, don't do that. We have to have you. Your angel's not good enough. We have to have you to lead us. You have to go before us. We have to have you, please, Lord. And Moses sought the Lord's presence for the children of Israel. He desired the Lord lead them in this journey, that the Lord would not lead them to an angel, but that the Lord would lead them. He begged of the Lord that He would do this. And the Lord says, okay, I'll do that. I'll lead you. And here He tells us in this last verse of the book of Exodus, the Lord stayed with them. The Lord is the one who led them. The Lord guided them all the way to the promise and into the promised land. He ever stayed with His people. He did not remove Himself from them. In all of their journeys, throughout all their journeys, the presence of the Lord was always there. They could see it. The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And the Lord fulfilled His promise to Moses. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.